The dead are rejoicing. On a warm fall evening in October, 3 days before Halloween, a frog jumped out and spoke, saying, "Why do I speak the language of you?" A fear overcame me, and I just looked at its bugging eyes as it blinked. I was mystified, but not afraid. Why not? I don't understand. I looked up at the heavens, and all I saw was a full bright moon. A light wind blowing. Fall leaves were falling, and the smell of my mom cooking those fall apples from the tree in the backyard. But I have to say, my mind was racing. Did this green frog just speak to me? And if so, why? What the fuck was going on? I stepped off my steps and went to the corner of the house. I guessed to see if someone or someones were playing a joke on me. There was no one there. When I turned to go back to the steps, the frog position changed. Instead of it facing me, it was facing outward. So, just to be clear, I wasn't losing my mind. I looked the it in the eye and said, "Do you understand me?" It did not answer my question, but only said, "They are coming. The dead are rejoicing." I stood up and faced outward to the direction that the frog was looking. And behold, someone was coming. I looked down at the frog, and the frog began to jump away. I said, "Wait a minute, where are you going?" It did not turn, but said, "Listen to what he has to say. Do not be afraid of what you hear or what you see." Man, that scared the shit out of me. I watched as it jumped away into taller grass. There's a lily pad near the cemetery. I guess it is where it lives. Something clicked in my mind, saying the frog is gone, but now your attention is needed elsewhere. I turned to see who was coming, but that someone was still in the shadows of the night. Soon, Mom began to call me to come inside and eat. I said, "Okay." I begin to step toward the person coming toward me as I got closer to the driveway. But if there's trouble coming, then I want trouble away from the house. This person is still coming. My police training began to take over. As he walked out from the shadows and into the light from the above street lights, I froze. Who is this? As he got closer and closer, his hand began to rise, and then he began to spread them, as though you're welcoming someone. Oh shit. Dad. You would think I would be happy to see my dad, but my dad has been dead for 9 years. I was freaking out with emotions. I wasn't going to run because of this man thing. You know, he did not look hideous. Actually, he looks good. He continues to walk toward me with no sense of urgency. I took a deep breath and placed my right hand on my side. After all, I am a detective with the State Bureau of Investigation. My dad was once the chief of police here in this neck of the woods. My mom was in the house and no one is going in there. Being dead for 9 years, one would think that his uniform would be dirty with ants and a mouse or two on his shoulder. I know I sound brave, but I am scared crazy. The dead, yes, don't come knocking at your door. He speaks and says, "It is me, son. Don't be afraid. I'm back for a reason." I looked at him and said, "Who the hell are you?" While my hand was gripping my revolver, I said, "What is my name? Who is in the house and what is her name?" He said to me, "Little Bobby, it is me. I have returned to save your planet. I ask you this. How many people believe in the effect of climate change? This planet is dying. Mankind has long dismissed the signs of climate change. Climate change affects everything, not just rising seas, hotter temperatures, but we, the dead, cannot rest. Like all the animals, insects, and living humans, climate change drives behavior patterns. It can start wars. We can be happy one moment and mad the next. We fear storms and earthquakes as we should, but they're more intense, fearful, and powerful. What you do not understand is that it produces, manufactures, catastrophe. We cannot stop it alone. I'm talking about a place called paradise, a place where the righteous lives. The other side, that has created climate change, lives in Outworld, a world that the evil dead have stolen three relics from three unknowing people that is said to be here in this city. One of the symbols were buried near the old cemetery up on Old Highway 42. The relics can be anything or anybody. It could be a necklace, a hood ornament, or even a tattoo. The only clue I have is that the relics will reveal itself once seen.
Hold up, Pop. I specialize in evidence. And why am I calling you Pop? I think I should take you downtown and fingerprint you. I know you're saying, for what? Think about it, Dead Dad. What would you do? You cannot see your Betty right now. I will let her know that I have to go to the station. I have to do this.
Dad understood, and we begin to walk to my cruiser. I said, hold up. We're taking your old 69 Chevy. Sorry, but you gotta get on the back.
I don't get it, Dad. Climate change is too big to fight. We've been changing our behavior, recycling everything from plastic to energy.
Most Americans believe we can only slow it down or make things tolerable. In plain terms, we live with it. He stops and said, son, you are right about all those things. But that's not the problem. In 2 days, on Halloween Eve, the dead will rise and rejoice. A family reunion like never seen before. In Outworld, it is hot, miserable, and unstable. There are oceans and mountains on Outworld, just like this world. We in Paradise see what is happening, and sees what is happening now to this world. The flooding, the stronger storms and rising temperature, and the violence, the hate was not supposed to be here. It was only in Outworld. Outworld is a world designed for the evil dead until their fate is decided. The dead in Paradise sees the other side, but not this world. Our scientists and brilliant-minded people figure out what the other side was doing. Outworld was beginning to change. Instead of dusty conditions, the air was becoming clean, comfortable temperature, less severe weather, and now that they have control of the three symbols, they can return to this world to drain the remaining resources of good that is here in this world. I asked, why here? What makes our town the object of the symbols? Forget it. We'll continue this conversation at the station. I backed that old 69 Chevy truck out of the barn. A little dusty, but the engine sounded good. Dad was about to get into the bed of the truck. I said, get in the passenger seat. Why don't you smell dead? He said that dying right is rewarding. I decided to take Old Highway 42 because I wanted to see the cemetery. You came by yourself? To save the world, just you? I don't know what they were thinking. He said, I will explain that later, when the time comes. Son, I cannot see your Betty. Seeing your mom, my wife, would tear a rift into reality. But there are two other people here in this town that we need help from. And if I remember, one of them is at the station. He likes hanging around the station, making sure everyone leaves before he leaves. I said, old man Rufus, how can he help? You know he lost an eye a few years ago in a bar fight? You should see the other guy. Some biker group rode into town, thinking that they would do anything they want to. Rufus wasn't having it. He beat three so bad that they spent 2 weeks in the hospital. How Dale lost his eye, I really don't know. We've arrived. Stay here. I'll go in and get Rufus. I went inside. Rufus was asleep with his feet propped in a chair. I said, it sounds like a hog's in here. Yo, Rufus, someone wants to see you outside. Rufus, I want you to keep an open mind. Stay calm and do not freak out like I did. Rufus said, it's not Jennifer Hudson, is it?
Be damned. I knew he couldn't die. Who was that in the coffin? Where were you, buddy? In a safe house? I said, get in, Rufus. I told Rufus, he is dead. The living dead. I know that sounds crazy, but he's returned from the grave. Just listen what he has to say. Rufus replied, he doesn't look dead. Just listen to what he has to say. My dad and Rufus first had to talk about all the things that has happened since he's been gone. Crime, birthdays, grandkids, and yes, his eye. I asked Dad, can he eat or drink? He said no, and we really don't have time to eat. Well, I told him, we do. I just make a quick stop to the diner and grab something for Rufus and I. My dad asked, where can we find Priest Ramon? I said, the drunk priest? He's probably at some bar. My dad said, do not judge, believe me, I know. Rufus said that Father Ramon has not had a drink in 2 years, at least not in public. The church have provided Father Ramon a room in the back of the church. I said, okay, let's go to the church. You haven't told Rufus everything yet. I'm going to call home and check on Mom, and then, if Father Ramon is at the church, we'll rest there while you finish filling in the detail. We'll get a fresh start in the morning. My dad said, I'll meet you here, at the church at nightfall. I asked, Dad, where are you going? Same place Dracula goes. I can only be out at night. I think you can understand that. That was not funny. After banging on the door for 3 minutes, Father Ramon finally opens the door. Rufus, Bobby, and Dale, come in. He was always Dad to me. He invited us in, and why Dale, which is my dad, did not freak him out, I do not know. Dad began to tell the story and the plans for tomorrow night. The next morning, I rush home to see Mom and wanted so bad to tell Mom about Dad, but could not. I poured a cup of coffee and stood on the step, hoping to see the frog. Because of everything I know now, I would love to have a conversation with it. I went on to work like it was a regular day. All the Halloween decorations in the yards and the fall leaves falling. I asked myself, how can this be? I was thinking about last night, and I was thinking about the future. I thought about Mom, my daughter, Uncle Ted, Aunt Mary, the boys at the station, and the nation. I could not wait until nightfall to start trying to save the world. That night, I went back to the church where I found them both asleep with a bottle of vodka nearby. After waking them, I asked what they think about Dad's story. They said that they believed and that we have to do something. It is not every day you have someone coming back from the dead. As the day begins to turn to night, Dad appears out of nowhere. He did not waste any time saying, there's one more person we need to see. I asked who? He said, I don't know. I only know at midnight that person would be there. Where? I asked. Wolfman Crossroad, out on Old Highway 33. I mentioned to him that there was nothing there, only that dead oak tree in that curve where so many people lost their lives. Thanks to technology over the years, we can now say that the crossroad is safe. I get a phone call, and it's my boss saying, I need you at the high school. Someone called in a bomb threat, saying at 9 a.m. the bomb will go off. He said, have I seen Rufus? I replied saying, yes, Rufus has COVID and is at home. There's a bomb threat this time of the night? Is the bomb squad on the way? Mike and Sam is on the way? My boss said there was no credible threat, but wanted to take the call serious, and for me to just get there and keep my watch. My dad said that was a distraction, and now they know we're looking for the relics. They'll use whoever or whatever they can to stop us. I asked Dad, who are they? They're the evil dead. Listen, they will try to stop us. It has started with your boss. Once we get to the crossroad and find the last protector, you'll understand more. Father Ramon knew why we were going to Wolfman Crossroad. He said it silently. Ghost. Rufus and I asked Father Ramon, what did you say? He said ghost, my dad said. You don't believe in ghost? They do walk among us, good and bad. They influence many outcomes of the living. Ghosts are here on this world until their assignment to paradise or outworld. Just like anything here or there, it is overcrowded. So it's safe to say, Dad, we're going ghost shopping? I asked Rufus to get his camper and meet me at the corner of Rose and Eastern Avenue. I have something to do first. I took my police car to the school and left it there with my blue and red lights on. Rufus, when was the last time you drove your camper? Better yet, when was the last time you cleaned it? I haven't seen a Wendy's wrapper like this in years. Rufus laughed and said, last week. I only see half of everything. We laugh as our alert on phone sounded off. They call for flash flooding and thunderstorms. We're to seek shelter immediately. I said that there were no report of any severe weather in the area. Dad said again, it was a distraction. The reason of climate change is because extreme weather is loosened from outworld, and mankind is its target. Right now, it's targeting us. Bobby, Wolfman Crossroad is a flood area at the bottom of the hill, Rufus said. It started to rain cats and dogs. It was raining so hard that Rufus's one eye was not enough to see the road. I asked him to pull over, and I asked Dad to drive. I cannot drive, he said. I cannot eat. I cannot drive. I can only be present. Father Ramon just sat there, holding his cross. I took over and drove the rest of the way there. Instead of taking the highway down the hill, I went along the tree line above the highway. It was nearing midnight, but we had plenty of time to get there. It seemed that we have overcome the weather, and we begin to relax. The time is now 11:48. I park near that old oak tree. I call that tree the Tree of Time. That tree have seen people come and people go. The clock struck 12, and Dad got out, went down to the crossroad, squatted, and looked up to the skies. His lip was moving, and soon there appeared something. There's an old saying that goes, I can't make this shit up. As Dad was returning to the camper, dark shadows surrounded him. We could not see him. Rufus and I grabbed our flashlights while Father Ramon walked toward my dad, holding his cross in his hand, saying, Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, and so on and so on. I do not know what worked, Father Ramon quoting the Bible or the light from the flashlights, but the dark shadows was no longer. When my dad returned back to the camper, he said, This is Beth. I said, Who the hell is Beth? Dad replied, She's with me, and that you cannot see her. Once your mind is cleared and believe anything is possible, you will see her. Rufus said, Okay. My eyes rolled back into my head, and I said, Thank you, Jesus, I'm not alone. I wanted to know who is Beth. Although I could not see her, I said, Hello, Beth. I said boldly, Let's get this shit started. All of a sudden, we heard a woman's voice saying, Who's this asshole? Dad began to explain that we could not see Beth, but only hear her through me. She's a spirit of good that holds the key to the first relic. Beth died 4 years ago, riding with someone that was drinking and possessed with an evil entity that knew Beth's future. You cannot see her. You can hear her. Beth is the first relic. But what we do not know is why. What links her to the relic? Dad asked Beth to think about that night when she died. She said, I was partying, and I met a guy who later learned was a cult leader. It was no accident. He knew that crossroad and knew how dangerous it was. I was thrown from the car. I asked Dad to ask her if there was something she was wearing that night or had in her possession. Beth said, There was my grandmother's necklace that I never take off. I do not have it. I asked Dad her, Why you think you would have it after death? Dad explained that, If it is buried with you, you will always have it. Father Ramon remembers her funeral and said there was no necklace. Dad said at the time of the accident, we found no other body. She was alone, Beth said. Well, I'm dead. I haven't heard about that. But knowing what I know now, it is possible. I told all that is able to search the grounds around the wreckage site. The dark shadows returned, and again we stayed in the light. The shadows actually helped us to find the necklace. If we were far off from it, no shadow would appear. Once we were close, the shadows would appear. Then, at that moment, a light beamed down from the sky, and now we can see Beth. Her task has been completed. She was suddenly taken into the skies. The next day, I went into the office to read about Beth's accident. I also read other reports about strange things that was reported, but were dismissed as incomplete. I read my dad's files and his statements about Rufus's bar fight. I found the report to be interesting, and also incomplete. I was soon interrupted. My boss, Mark, and Jason entered my office. Jason said, "We all are going out tonight for dinner. It's on me. Make sure you come because we're going to celebrate Halloween." I said, "When do we celebrate Halloween? We get more calls on that night than most nights." My boss said, "The other guys can handle the calls. We'll take over at midnight. That's an order." I respond by saying, "I have to make sure my mom is ready for the Halloweeners. Make sure she has candy by the door. Make sure she has on her Night of the Living Dead costume on." I was being humorous. They left my office as I continued to finish reading my report and Beth's accident report. Before I left, I stopped by Rufus's office, whisper something into his ear, telling him that I'll meet him at your home later tonight. If they ask you to come to a dinner, say yes, sure. I left to get some treats for tonight and ran into an old friend of the family. He asked me, could he come over tonight and just hang out? He has never asked to hang out with me. When Dad died, he did not call or come by. I just said, and I was having dinner tonight with the guys on the force. He said, good. He had a slight grin on his face as he turned and walked away. That evening, as night began to fall, I saw all the kids and some with their parents, all with their costumes on, face painted, beginning to knock on doors, ring doorbells to say, trick or treat. I loved the kids and wanted them to enjoy this Halloween, but I knew I had something to do. I pulled up to Rufus's house, and he welcomed me to come in. I saw his trophies and medals as he offered me a cup of coffee. We went outside and stood near the street, talking about the other two relics yet to find. I thought about the report I read about Rufus in the bar fight, as well as Beth's accident report. "Father Ramon, how are you doing tonight?" Here comes my dad out of the shadows. I asked Dad, "How you know where I am all the time?" He said, "I see things you do not see." I said, "Let us go inside for a minute. I don't want any unwanted eyes on us." I told Dad I've seen things too. I left my cell phone with my mom. I told her that if any of the guys from the office was to call, tell them that I'm in the shower. That'll buy us some time. I asked Rufus about that night at the bar. I asked him again, "What caused you to lose your eye?" He said, "That asshole had a funny-looking ring that had little spikes on it. It wasn't funny. The doctor said that it embedded something in my eye, and that I would have to have surgery to remove the eye. I have it. Do you want to see it?" Father Ramon and Dad said, "No, we need to leave. There are two more relics that we still have to find before midnight." I said, "Wait, I want to see it." There was something in the report that linked Rufus and Beth. The guy Beth said she was parting with and the man Rufus was fighting was the same person. Rufus opened the cabinet, and in a jar was Rufus's eye. A normal-looking eye. After all those years, Rufus's eye looks the same as the one in his head. And, as Rufus held the jar close to his face, a bright light so blinding made us turn our heads. "Rufus," I asked, "are you okay?" And when he turned around, he removed the patch from his eye, and he was miraculously healed. He could see out of both eyes. Father Ramon said it was a miracle. Dad smiled and said, "We found the second relic." After a few minutes of joyfulness, I said, "Let's go find the last relic." My heart beats as the watch on my wrist sounds tick, tock, tick, tock. I asked Father Ramon to drive his car to keep us under wrap. The trick-or-treaters had all gone in for tonight, but for some unknown reasons, there were still adults on the street. Most of them dress up in costumes, but others just stupid-faced. We rode around looking at everything, from dogs to cats and even trees and Halloween decorations. I finally said, "What the hell are we doing? Dad, think. You have to know something." My dad said he wished it was that easy, but only that it will show itself when found. Rufus said that, "Now I have two eyes, I can see more." I told Rufus to close one. You were doing great with one. The moon was full and bright earlier tonight, but now darkened by the clouds. We were losing the light from the moon. The tick-tock, tick-tock was getting louder. I said, "Dad, you did not come back to fail. Think." Dad said that only he knows that they, those in paradise, chose me to save this world. I begin to think. I had a flashback to the beginning of this unbelievable mess. I told Father Ramon to turn on to the next street, then take the next left. I asked Father, "Does he know where I stay at?" He said, "I think so." I said, "You just missed the turn." He circled the block, but when he came near to my home, there was two patrol cars pulled to the side with their lights off. I told Father Ramon to keep going and to go around back. Dad asked, "Why are we here?" I told everyone, "I think I know the last relic." I said, "Pull over and turn your lights off." We got out and went through the brush. Rufus, mumbling, singing, "Time keep on ticking, ticking, ticking into the future. Rufus, please." "Dad, I did not mention to you that a talking frog said someone was coming. Then you showed up." Everyone stops and turned around and look at me. Dad said, "We have to find that frog. That is why they sent me." I said, "Guys, get out your flashlight. The dark shadows have returned." I told everyone to get down and turn your lights down, not off. There were two lights coming toward us. We have to keep low and move. The lily pad is over near the cemetery. I begin quietly calling out to it. "It. It." They pause, looking at me like I was crazy. "That's what I called the frog. It did not give me a name." Rufus said, "Frog would have been just fine." And behold, the frog leapt toward me, looking at everyone with those bulging eyes. It said, "Quickly, Dale, pick me up." When Dad picked up the frog, the dark clouds went away. The moon began to shine bright, and the fog disappeared in a ball of light from Dad's hand. Dad walked out of the darkness into the light and said, "Son, Rufus, Father, thank you for saving Grace. Climate change will be written in history books in every nation, and how all mankind did what they could do to slow its effects. The world is safe from whatever effects climate change throws at it. I have to go now." Then, at that moment, a beam of light appeared, and Dad was gone. I said, "Don't look now. Here comes the boys in blue." "Jason, Mark, where you guys come from?" I asked. They said they saw a bright light. I said, "Well, it's Halloween. The dead are rejoicing."